You're listening to Speak Free with Simon O'Connor, right here on RCR, Reality Check Radio.
Well, I'm joined again by Ingrid Leary. She's a Labour MP. She's the spokesperson across a number of portfolios, including mental health, and the MP for Tairi, which is in the Dunedin area. So, Ingrid, welcome back.
Hello, Simon. Nice, lovely to be here.
Well, we're almost at the end of the parliamentary year. The countdown, I'm sure, is on as it is for all people working. But I've been following you in the best sense of that word. And I see in recent days, you've been doing what they call scrutiny week in Parliament. And you've been holding, along with your colleagues, the government and various officials to account, particularly in the health space. So just talk us through what's happening there.
Scrutiny Week's a new innovation under this parliamentary term, and I have to say it's pretty intense and full on, but it's great. It enables us to have more time to use the Official Information Act stuff we've done in our written parliamentary questions to really interrogate ministers and officials about the books and the year in review so that we get some real answers. There's just not enough time in the House. In health, fireworks yesterday, which resulted in the Health Commissioner, Lester Levy, asking Aisha Verrill for an apology because she said that he appeared to be cooking the books. Another word she had used was pushing the envelope. She said that outside of the committee. And, you know, quite a big claim to make from her. But when you look at the books, what happened was the government under Lester Levy tried to push $135 million worth of redundancy payments into last year's books to make those look worse, to bring down the deficit for this year's books, even though those redundancies weren't this year. They also had a forecast deficit of $1.1 billion, which that's the real figure rather than $1.7 billion, which they had claimed previously. And a lot of that the payments have actually gone into extra staffing for nurses. And we know that nurses have been on strike. And I think everybody would agree that we do need nurses and there doesn't appear to be a glut of nurses at the front line. So all of this amounts to what Aisha Verrill is calling a manufactured crisis, an overstating of how bad the financials were in order to make cuts, which Lester Levy yesterday maintained were not at the front line, which created a bit of laughter amongst the opposition MPs. And that is why there were a few fireworks going yesterday. It was very much about, you know, what was the true state of the books and why were they trying to make things look worse than they were?
And look, I'm no accountant. I imagine there'll be lots of debate around what is appropriate accounting or not, but it's also that element that you're touching on of what's the intentions here. But I see from the reporting, it's a very robust critiquing or scrutiny by you guys in opposition, but quite strong pushback by Dr. Levy as well, and I assume government MPs, or were they relatively quiet and just leaving the minister and officials to do it?
Relatively quiet, predictably. But remember also, it's quite extraordinary. The Auditor General came and had an extraordinary meeting with the committee just prior to the appearance of Health New Zealand. I can't talk about what the contents of that meeting were. That's privileged, as you know. But that in itself is extraordinary. And I can also say that the commissioner and officials admitted that the Auditor General had intervened and said, you can't do this, you can't make the numbers look like that. And they had quickly, in their words, retracted that and then reassembled the books. But by then, it was a bit late. They would have been better off just leaving them alone, quite frankly. And so I think Aisha Verrill did an extraordinary job in being across the detail and exposing and shedding a light on what was going on. And that's absolutely the job of opposition.
And says me to you in that, you know, moving from government to opposition, you're never stronger than now. And what I mean by that is actually someone like Aisha Verrill yourself, having been in government, know what's going on, can begin to apply that information. It says me to you, Ingrid, it gets harder as the years go on and the contacts change. But that's the other thing that listeners need to understand. It's so important for Ingrid, Labour, the Greens, Te Pāti Māori, regardless of people's political views, to hold the government's feet to the fire. So was it like an hour or so? How long were you grilling them for?
No, it was 6 hours with Health New Zealand. And we'd also had half an hour with Minister Ducey, who's the minister that I hold to account in the mental health space. Had some interesting comments there where Minister Ducey tried to say that the Auditor General had given him a good report about Gumboot Friday procurement, when everybody knows, and it's been widely canvassed, that that was a non-procurement really, and that the Auditor General had grave concerns. So I think he's under a bit of pressure. I asked Minister Ducey about why there had been no work, no advice, no bids done for extra psychiatric beds across the motu. Psychiatric beds have been consistently at 100% or more, meaning people have been turned away when they've been in mental health crisis. I get that we need to keep people out of mental health crisis and hospitals and beds, but there still needs to be enough beds. And there wasn't even any advice tendered. So nobody even asked the question, do we have enough? Should we be putting in a bid? That question wasn't asked. I was able to uncover that. So some interesting stuff there. Also around 111 calls, police withdrawing from 111 calls over the coming years in a phased approach. The Health New Zealand chief executive admitted that she does have concerns for the safety of the frontline, and she gave an assurance that she would push back to that rollout if she felt that the second phase, which is due in March next year, if they weren't ready. Now, they're working on interim operating standards for that, which means they haven't really, they're building the plane while they're flying it. So that's another one to watch this space.
It is one I'm actually watching myself, because at one level, for me, Ingrid, I don't expect police to be sort of the first stop for mental health crises. But, and the really important but, is if they're pulling back, who's filling the gap? And we know we have that shortage already. You mentioned earlier the nurses are protesting. I think I read in the paper recently that our EDs are maxed out at 100%. I mean, it's not a pretty picture.
You nailed it with that question, Simon, because that is the question. If they pull back, who fills the gap to support the first responders and the mental health workers? The difference with police, of course, is they have powers of restraint. The first responders have powers of sedation, but often you need to restrain to sedate. And they don't have those powers, nor should they. That is not their job, and they don't want them. So in the documents, it shows that there's going to be work to strengthen community groups and wraparound support, which seems to be the right direction of travel. But nobody could tell me in the hearing yesterday what work had been done and who those people would be. If we don't have that vital information, I think we're putting people at risk by withdrawing police from those call-outs as early as March next year. So I'll be watching this really closely. And if it needs to be a more gradual shift, that's what we should be doing. And certainly that was the approach that the Labor government had.
Well, we'll all have to keep an eye on it. But of course, you're coming into the end. I think there's only a few days left of the parliament itself. That doesn't mean the work will end. I know that myself. It'll go right up to Christmas Eve. But if I was to put you on the spot, what's been like a highlight and a low light for the political year for you?
Okay, well, I don't tend to think of low lights, as you know, Simon, but I have to say that the Dunedin Hospital situation has been a real low light. It's been deeply worrying. And yesterday, the scenario appeared to get even worse. I asked the commissioner for an assurance that no meetings had happened around making Christchurch the centre of excellence and tertiary specialist care. That means ICU, neurology, things like that, cardiovascular specialism, that there'd been no meetings and that they would not change the tertiary status of Dunedin Hospital. He could not provide that assurance, and one of his officials admitted there had been meetings. Now, that suggests a further downgrade to the Southern Hospital. It's critical for three reasons, really. One is life and death. We're far from Christchurch, so are the surrounds. We need to be able to get to the hospital quickly. Secondly, that you need the tertiary level status to be able to train doctors. We've got the medical school there. What's going to happen to that? And thirdly, medical teaching and the hospital are the lifeblood of our economy in Dunedin. So it looks like we could get gutted. So that's problematic. As far as highlights, I think the highlight is still to come. I'm about to get on a plane to go to Dharamsala and meet the Dalai Lama, who is living in exile, of course, in India. He's about to get a Nobel Prize. And so I've been invited to be there on that day. And I'm sure that is going to be a massive highlight, not only for this year, but for my life.
Oh, I think it's fantastic. I mean, you and I have had quite a bit to do with the Tibetan community and supporting them. So I am absolutely thrilled you are heading over there. I didn't realise that. That is just fantastic. No wonder it's a highlight to come.
And I look forward to chatting with you about it online and offline when I get back.
I am looking forward to that. Well, Ingrid, look, thank you for coming on the show throughout the year, giving us your view across a range of issues, but particularly in that mental health space. So can I wish you a very Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
Same to you, Simon, and same to all your listeners.
Oh, and by the way, safe travels. How do you even get to Dar es Salaam? What's the, from New Zealand? Do you have one flight?
I think it's via Singapore. Via Singapore, I think. And it's going to be cold. It was -1 degree. So other times I've been lucky enough to travel to India. I've had, sort of Muslim clothes and warm clothes. This is up in the hills. It's going to be very cold and I can't wait.
Oh, well, thanks for answering. That was just my instant curiosity. It's like, gosh, how does one even get there? Anyway, Ingrid, thanks so much. And again, have a wonderful summer break.
You too.
The RCR shop has great gift ideas. From great-looking tees, hoodies, caps, tote bags, bumper stickers, and more. The RCR shop is now open at www.realitycheck.radio/shop.